I'm just going to be honest with you, it's kind of hard to sit there. We're thinking about Jesus, and I get to thinking about the message this morning.
Amen.
I'm not going to do him a disservice. If he's put into work, I'm going to go ahead and worship. Amen.
Amen.
Now, it don't matter if you worship. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Amen. That ain't got nothing to do with it. But I am.
Amen.
Amen. I am. If you have your Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Probably not going to preach very long tonight. Friend, I'll be honest with you. You know, sometimes as pastors, we know what we're going to preach. And just like I was really settled this morning on what I was going to preach. And I've been studying over throughout the week and was thinking about tonight. I was going to come back tonight and preach on tithing. And we need to preach on tithing. Amen. The church needs to tithe. The church. But it's like the Lord said, no, that ain't where you need to be. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If you get there, let's stand. Very familiar scripture. Verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, God, for all what you've already done today. Lord, thank you, God, for the songs tonight, God, and the choir. Lord, thank you, God, for the service this morning. Lord, we've come back tonight, dear God, for a different service. God, another chance, dear God, to sit under the Word of God. And I pray right now, Lord, you'd help me, Lord, as I try to expound on this tonight, God. Help me to bring it out in a way that you would be pleased. And whatever's done, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. At the time, now listen, somebody said, preacher, why in the world are you preaching this message tonight? My God, we had a service this morning. How many enjoyed the service this morning?
Amen.
If you didn't, you wasn't here.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just being a great service, amen. And the choir did great, I mean, and Taylor, it was a great singing. We're coming out of revival. Preacher Todd, you know, preached revival, had a great revival. And I'll be honest with you, and I've said this before, and I've told other people before about our church. I said, I'll be honest with you, most of the time, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we're kind of in a revival spirit almost all the time, especially this time of year. We're going into our Easter place. I mean, the Life Center, every table was just about filled. Amen. For folks wanting to come and excited about being in the Easter play, it's going to be great. Amen. That does a lot for our church. That revives our church. That gets us back in unity. That gets us back in one mind and one accord that we want to work and do. And I'll be honest with you, why in the world would God want me to preach about a revival when we're in revival? I want to preach, the thought's going to be, will there be a revival? Now, if you go back and study the passage of Scripture, and just like I said last Sunday about preaching the message, is it a sin to miss church? You got to take Scripture in context, okay? If you back up and you go to chapter 6 and you go to chapter 7 and you read what's going on, they're sacrificing. They've got the temple ready. I mean, they are at a peak in revival. I mean, if you're going to put it in today's term, they are shouting it out.
Amen.
Amen. They've got a brand new temple ready. All the stuff set up. All the priests are set up. The sacrifices have been sacrificed. Verse 1 says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house, that the priests could not enter into the house, into the Lord's house of the Lord, because of the glory of the Lord had filled the house. Have you ever been in a service where it got so strong that you didn't know what to do?
Amen.
I mean, son, it is happening right here. The band is cranked up. They're shouting it out. They've made the sacrifices. And I'm telling you right now, you think of the best service you've ever been in your life, and it cannot touch what's going on right here. But in the same patches of Scripture, when God appears to Solomon, it's good. I mean, everything's good. The Bible says in verse 11, this, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make the house of the Lord. And then it's also how he prospered effective. And then verse 12, and the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Then he goes into, they're having the greatest revival that Israel has ever known. They're in the peak of revival. And God says, listen, y'all gonna mess up. Between now and Easter, somebody in this Easter play is gonna mess up. Between now and next Sunday, somebody gonna mess up. Between now, and I'm just gonna go ahead and tell you, you gotta understand something. Revival includes all of us. I mean, David can get revived right by himself. Robert can get revived right by himself. But I'm talking about true revival is when everybody is involved. And God is saying, like I said, they've shouted it out. They've had a great time. Solomon goes home, lays down, and God comes to him. Because we're going to mess up. And he says, when you mess up, if I shut up heaven and there be no rain, if I stop the blessings from flowing, that's what he's talking about right there, and there be no rain. He said, if my people. Revival. Number one, if these words mean anything at all, it means that God really wants us to have revival. That is God's desire. He longs to hear our prayers. He longs to forgive our sins. Amen. If you're sitting here tonight and you got something going on in your life, don't sit here. All this is for you. The Lord loves you so much that he longs to hear your prayer. He wants to forgive. He wants it to have revival. God is more willing to send revival than you and I are willing to get it. Amen. I'm going to say that one more time. God is more willing to send revival than you and I are willing to get it. I mean, right now we're going into a new year. The church is on an upswing. I tell you, I'm excited about what God's going to do this year. But I'm just telling you, when you're working and everything's going good, the devil's going to fight. And when the devil fights, you got to understand something. When you even notice, when you even feel like the blessings have slowed down, that's when you got to understand what this here scripture means. Psalms 85, verse 6, will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive the work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in the wrath to remember, revive me. That's what the psalmist is saying, revive me. Psalms 138, verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. I want revival. Amen. Like the old preacher said, if you want revival, draw a circle in the sand and say, God, start right here in this circle. I want revival. If I can get myself, let me tell you something, I can't get you revived if I can't get revived. You ought to say, I want revival in me. I want revival in my house. I want revival in my Sunday school class. I want revival in the choir. I want revival in the sanctuary. I want revival. If you ever get to that point, you can have revival. But God wants us to have revival. These words show that God, these words gives us God's, I guess, antidote or God's prescription for revival. If there's conditions to revival, amen, you just can't show up at Joel Osteen's church and get revived. If, and then it says if, and another word in that passage is then. If and then. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, let's go back and read it. If my people, if, why can't we get revival? Because somebody don't like that word if. I want the Lord just come down and just bless me. Well, God said, if you want me to bless you, there's certain conditions that you're going to have to follow. Amen. Amen? The problem is, a lot of times in church, we don't like following God's lead. We claim to be Christian, but don't like following the book. We claim to be Christian, don't like what the preacher preaches. We claim to be Christian and don't want to do what the Bible tells us to do. If my people, amen, if you consider yourself a Christian, I'm talking to you. If my people, which are called by my name, now listen, shall humble themselves. It's kind of hard for us to do that sometimes. Shall humble themselves. Kind of hard for me when me and Brother Robert's got a little riff going on. I think I'm right. He thinks he's right. I know none of y'all don't ever get like that, but I'll preach to me and Brother Robert. I'm right. He thinks he's right. I'm right. I walk in church. I walk right by him. He sings on one side of the choir. I sing on the other side of the choir. See where I'm going with this? And I'm too proud to humble myself and halfway admit that Alex, there's a possibility that I might be wrong. Oh, Lord. Humble. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Sometimes I need to go to him and apologize. Say, listen, Brother Robert, I don't know how we got like this. I don't know how it got this far, but I want to apologize to you, and I want you to know I'm sorry, and I want mine and your relationship to be back where it needs to be. Because if mine and his relationship ain't right, mine and God's relationship ain't right. If my people, which are called by name, shall humble themselves and pray. That's another condition for revival. Humble themselves and pray. Then it says, and seek my face. You got to want him more than you want everything else, amen? And turn from their wicked ways then. Amen. You don't have revival. And you say, preacher, we're in the midst of revival. I realize that. But somebody going to make a mistake tomorrow. Somebody going to do something stupid tomorrow. Somebody going to do something bad Wednesday and maybe next Thursday or Friday. And you're going to need God. Hey, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, you got to admit that you ain't perfect. Then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. So humble, that word humble right there, it comes from the Greek word to bend the knee, hence to humiliate oneself, to vanquish or bring down into submission. We got to admit and confess our need for an almighty God, because you can't do it on your own. When you mess up, and you will mess up. And when you mess up, there's conditions to sin. Every sin's got a condition. When you mess up, and you will mess up, if you don't ask God to forgive us, you break that relationship. Let me tell you something. You listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Just because you stump your toe and say a bad word don't mean you go into hell. But I'm just saying, if you say that bad word and you don't ask God to forgive you of saying that bad word, that relationship's going to be severed a little bit. The blessings can stop. If my people, which you call my name, shall humble themselves. And the thing about it is, you know, God hates pride. God hates pride. These six things that the Lord hates, seven are an abomination, a proud look, amen. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 11, verse 2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 16, verse 5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Understand something. Sometimes you're going to have to humble yourself, and it might not be with me or David or me or Robert. Sometimes you might have to humble yourself before God. Amen. It's amazing to me. We can have services like we've had today, and some people never come to the altar. You act like you live in wearing your white robe, and you got your angel wings spread all over the place. You don't never do nothing wrong. You and your wife don't never fuss. You don't never say a bad word. You don't ever have a bad thought. I'm just going to go. One day I hope I'm good as you are. But I know my heart. And I know I have to humble myself before God a lot. Amen. Life will do that to you. But if my people, which you call by my name, shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. Sin is always an obstacle to revival. Prove it, preacher. Well, the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 7, after the battle of Jericho, there was a man named Achan. In Joshua chapter 7, the Bible says this, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Achan was one man. God told him, said, when you go into Jericho, you burn it, you kill everything. Everything is mine. You leave it alone. Don't touch nothing. Achan saw some goodly garments and some gold or silver. And he decided that he was going to reach out there and grab it. One man sinned. And notice what the verse said. God's anger was kindled against the children of Israel. If Brother Barry does something wrong, God's anger can stop the blessings of the whole church. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I don't want to be the one to stop revival, amen? I don't want to be the one to stop God's blessing. I don't want to be, and I'm telling you folks, most of us been in church for a while, you can see it how God moves down through the years. Somebody gets a riff here, somebody gets upset there, and you can just see the blessings of the Lord stop. Thank God for prayer, amen? Thank God that we can get on our knees and get things right with God. I don't want to be the one to stop revival. Achan stopped revival. One man sinned, stopped a whole nation. And when we look at it, sorry, if we look at it like this, that was not a gross sin. That was not murder. That was not adultery. He didn't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Just one little thing. Nobody saw him. Nobody knew about it. But God did. Folks, I'm just telling you, everybody that's in this church building right now, and everybody associated with this church right now, we ought to examine our lives. We're getting ready to go into the Easter play. And I'm telling you, I'm praying for 25 people to get saved. Amen? I'm praying for 25. 25 is not a great big number when you look at doing it three nights. Amen. I'm looking for 25 people to get saved. I'm expecting God to do more than that, but that's what I'm praying for. I don't want to be the one to stop God's blessing. And between now and that time for that Easter play, the devil's going to come. The devil's going to fight hard. The devil's going to hinder. He's going to say, you don't need to go. You ain't got to be there. They don't need you right now. But I'm just going to tell you, if you got a part in that play, you need to be here. Amen. If we're going to work together, let's work together. I don't want to be the one to stop revival. See, if we ain't careful, we might say something that God could overlook that, what Achan did. But God don't overlook stuff. God don't overlook nothing. If I want revival, I got to examine me. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Folks, I'm telling you, revival's real. And God, I believe with all my heart, God is doing something in this church. I believe it started the first of the year, probably started a few months ago, but God just working and doing things in this church. I can see it. I feel it. And I don't want to be the one to stop that. So what I want to do at the close of this service right now is everybody in here, let's come gather around, if you can, let's come gather on this altar and ask God to pour out his blessings on Liberty Free Will Baptist Church. Ask God to bless us so strong that we won't want to stop revival. And pray. I want you to pray that if something does come up, we'll get it under the blood. We'll get it under the blood.